I'll introduce you, okay?
Hello.
Blog Talk Radio. Okay.
Behind the veil of what is seen, the natural eye, a great event is being prepared. A war and a wedding feast will have their place in time. Soon and not yet is the word that the watchman gives as he strains his eyes through the darkness of the night mist. He can sense that just beyond the horizon, a great brightness is preparing to break forth. Arise, you sleepers. Shake off your slumber, he calls. Come and fill your lamp with fresh oil. Trim your wick. Cry out in the streets and do not let your voice be silent. For the coming of the great king is at hand. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Only wait for the Lord. Be strong and of a good courage. And wait for the Lord.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Our voices, he will come. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos of your host, The Way, The Truth, Life Tabernacle here on Blog Talk Radio. You call us at 516-418-5944. But I'm going to ask you to hold your questions until the end of the program. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just share a little itinerary and a little disclaimer. The disclaimer is that the songs that we play on the radio station do not belong to Pastor Carlos. They do not belong to the church, and it doesn't belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists. However, because we bought the original CD and DVD in it, we have permission to use their songs. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. The itinerary for the church is that every Sunday at 6-7 o'clock, we have the Bible mystery. If you come to the church, will mail you out a beautiful, colorful accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. And I will suggest you keep that with your Bible, so when you have an appointment or something and you want to be your tabernacle and learn about it, don't forget, Paul said in Corinthians, know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So this tabernacle that we have is portable. It was tabernacle at the time. They would take it down when the cloud would begin to move, and they would, when the cloud stopped. And that's what Moses used to share with the people, the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. On Tuesdays at 3 o'clock in the morning, we have prayer, intercessory prayer. And on Thursdays, like today, we have Bible study. And our topic is, what's next? What's next? And we've been studying different topics of what we expect to be next. Time setters, these things could happen at any time as the Lord says fit. If you listen to the beginning of the song, the brother said there's a war and a wedding about to take place. And we have a special guest from Grace Church of the Treasure Coast. And her name is Alicia Ortiz, and she's going to present to us the war part, the part of the war, part one of the tribulation. And we're going to give the mic over to her, and she's going to expound on the word as the Spirit leads her. Alicia, there?
Thank you, Pastor.
You could go on.
First, I want to tell everybody, I'm glad to be present here on behalf of Pastor, and also on behalf of the Holy Spirit, because everything that we are is Him, and He's the one that guides us. I want to start with blessing and honor and glory and power to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. We're going to be talking about the period called the tribulation. And there's a lot of confusion about it. We're going to give you a brief description of it. So what is the tribulation? The definition of tribulation, also named the day of the Lord or the day of wrath, is a cause of great trouble or suffering. The tribulation will be a seven-year period when God will complete his discipline of Israel and the final judgment upon the believers, citizens of this world. It starts when a treaty of quote-unquote peace, because we're not sure exactly what that treaty is going to say, Christ, this being that is going to be ruling a global government, and Israel, to allow them to build the temple again. Right now, Israel doesn't have a temple, so they cannot do the worship there. The tribulation is basically divided in two halves of 3.5 years each, or it's called the 42 months or the 1,260 days. In the first half of that period, the Antichrist is going to appear as a great benefactor and protector of the people of Israel and of the world. However, something drastic is going to happen, and in the middle of that seven-year period, he's going to turn against everybody, and he becomes a desolation. Jesus described that second half as the Great Tribulation, the likes of which has never been seen since the beginning of the world or ever will be again. In other words, the second half of the 70th week of Daniel, which is described in chapter 9, will be the unparalleled time of trouble for the world. Summary, the tribulation is that 7-year period in the end of times in which humanity's decadence and depravity will reach its fullness with God's judging accordingly. Also, during that time, Israel will repent of their sins and receive Jesus as their Messiah. There's going to be a setup of a time of blessing and restoration. That is the millennial kingdom, which Zephaniah 3:9-20 and Isaiah 12:35 describe for us. So now we're going to go a little bit into what is going to be happening during that period of tribulation. The book of Revelation, among other books like Daniel, revealed a period of a great turmoil on this planet to the dissidents. I call them dissidents. They're the unbelievers. Why? They have transgressed every single rule established for the implementation of the kingdom of God on earth. This has been happening for over 6,000 years already. Enough is enough. So together with all those principalities and dominions that were established by the enemy of the Lord, they're going to be eradicated in the end, uprooted to the nevermore. We know the ending. So this period of tribulation should not be a reason for us believers to worry. We will be raptured or taken up just in time when the Father calls his Son to come and pick up his bride, his church, then we'll be taken up. So the plan of the Lord for us is actually being fulfilled every single day. We also must take into consideration that the Jewish nation as a whole must repent of their transgressions against the first covenant with Abraham. They rejected the Messiah and must recognize him before their tribulation ends, which is going to be like the highest acme of when that happens. Everything is going to be absolutely glorious, and then we're going to see him come in all his glory to this planet. The book of Revelation also has revealed to us the kingdom and rule of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The representative of the kingdom of heaven is the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, the Word of God, the way, the truth, and the life. He is real, he is present, and he is living. Do not miss the description of his kingdom, the ruling, its blessings, its mercy, even when you see it at the harshest judgments upon the lawless of this world. While reading Daniel, and when you read the book of Revelation, I encourage you to go read it. There's a special blessing for those who read and who listen to the book of Revelation. I'm going to give you now, after this brief, not so brief introduction, a summary of that set of judgments that are going to come into this planet pretty soon. We are already starting to feel the birth pangs, the beginnings. And if we are hurting as believers of the gospel, we are hurting already for what we see that is happening in the entire world. And lately about what happened even in Israel. So that is just the beginning. We're not even there yet until this Antichrist takes his seat of rule. It won't start. So just so that you are aware, I'd like to give you a very brief, short description of what each of the seven seals are. And the first one starts with a great white horse. Enter the Antichrist. He is a world dictator clearly described in Daniel 9. Go back there and look at everything he says about him, and in Daniel 11 too. There he calls him the little horn. He is worse than anyone that has preceded him on this earth. He's a false Messiah who will raise himself above God and everything that is God. He confirms a covenant with the many, the Jews. That is what starts the period of tribulation. The second one, the second seal, is a red horse, which brings wars and conflict and takes the gift of God, peace, from this earth. How many of us are daily praying for that priest to come back? Well, this horse has been running rampant probably already. The black horse is the third seal, and it brings scarcity and inequity. Only the rich will continue on as always. And everything costs so much more than before that the regular people, that means us, will have a hard time coping, and it's going to reduce the life of those people meeting just basic necessities. And even that is going to be through a lot of hardship. The fourth seal opens with a pale horse bringing death to a fourth of the earth. Right now, if you like mathematics, out of the 8 billion, I guess, I don't know how many there are, people on this earth, and that will give you a number that will shake you to your boots. So he's going to start wars, and which are going to bring hunger, and he's going to bring death, and even the beast of the earth will attack. Very recently, we had an incident where, I don't recall the country, but the zoo animals came out, and they were running all over the avenues of that city. The fifth seal is called the cry of the martyrs, because those who suffer on account of faith are at the throne of God asking, till when, till when? The sixth seal is in a great earthquake that shakes the entire planet. I cannot imagine that, but that's what's going to happen. Mountains and islands are moved. Plate shift is large and it's wide. This is the great impact to the privileged who now have to take cover to prevent their own destruction. So far they have had nothing to suffer about. They have set up all these kingdoms. They have set up all these rules for us peons. And here, now they're being affected. That is when they start to suffer. Although these conditions have existed always, it is their magnitude and the frequency that come forth with them in this period. Before the unleashing of this calamity, the 144,000 Jews are being sealed throughout the world. There's also going to be a great multitude, is how Revelation 9 through 10 describes them, that are being saved. Whether it's through the 144,000, we don't know. But they are, these people, that's what we're thinking, that they're going to be evangelizing throughout the world together with the two witnesses and the angel that is going to go out crying out for the gospel of Christ. The trumpet judgment is loosed with the seventh seal. There is a pattern with this judgment that the last one opens the other set. So the seven seals open the seven trumpets and in heaven for about half an hour. And to us, imagine sitting here for half an hour not listening to anything but air. It's pretty rough. What is going on during that time, we don't know. The Bible does not disclose it. It probably has nothing to do with our salvation. Therefore, it's not for us to know that something is happening. So then come out seven angels, and they they received the seventh trumpet, so it's going to be blown. The seventh trumpet, a third of the trees are burnt, and everything green is burnt through hail and fire coming from heaven. The vegetation is going to be affected. So you can imagine now how famine is going to be starting to set in even worse. On the second trumpet, a third of the sea is affected, mountain burning with fire that is thrown into the sea. A third of the sea creatures die, and a third of the ships that are in the ocean are destroyed. The third trumpet, the fresh water is affected. That's the water we drink. A third of the rivers and springs of water are affected by what is called wormwood. You probably have heard that word. That only means bitter, which turns the water into undrinkable water. And as a result, people die by drinking this water. With the fourth trumpet, a third of the sun is struck, a third of the moon, a third of the kingdom. One-third of the days will not shine, as well as we will not have moonlight. We still cannot fathom what that can be. This is an escalation into the power of God. There is no other explanation for those here who remain here that are still unbelieving. As you can see, all means of sustenance are attacked, and the cyclical rhythm of day and night is affected. Then the book of Revelation takes the time to talk to us different activities that are going on. I'm sorry, I skipped one. Actually, I skipped three. Five trumpet, a fallen angel releases demonic locusts from the bottomless pit to torment for 5 months the people that don't have the seal of God on their foreheads. That means all these unbelievers, they are going to be attacked. It says that it's so painful as the sting of a scorpion. I've never been stung by one, and hopefully I never will be. So those of you who have, you can imagine then how it's going to feel. But this is intense pain the entire day and night. And it will be so painful that they will wish to die but will not be able. Demonic locusts are all under a leader that is called Abaddon. Then the sixth trumpet talks to us about this army of destruction that is coming, the release of four angels bound at the Euphrates River, the longest river in Mesopotamia. It originates in Turkey, flows through Syria and Iraq, and empties in the Persian Gulf. So where are they bound? We don't know. There's a lot of stuff on the internet. Please don't even listen to it. It's insane. These four angels were released to kill a third of mankind. It is 200 million horsemen. So all of those locusts, it describes them to the point that it gives you chills, but it's very interesting how they are attacking people with their tails and hurting them that way. The surviving people of this period still don't repent of their murders, their sorceries or sexual immorality, or their theft. These activities are highly associated with the taking of drugs, and drugs are rampant nowadays, so you can imagine. Now we're going to go to the description of the two witnesses that the Father is going to be sending down to prophesy for 3.5 years, and they will be given power to stop rainfall during their prophecy time, and also to turn water to blood. So they're going to be prophesying and doing basically miracles. And when they finish their testimony, it says that a beast that ascends from the bottomless pit wars with them and kills them. Their bodies will lie in the streets of the called the great city, spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. After 3 days that they've been exposed to everything, to rain, because now it's going to start raining because they stopped the rain, they are going to rise in heaven. Everybody in the world is going to see this. And nowadays with all the technology that we have, we can see how we can see it real time. And they're going to start applauding. They're going to be really happy, and they're going to be giving each other gifts, just as we see nowadays with some of the people of this planet. Then the seventh trumpet sounds, and it comes out a man that says that the kingdom of this world now has become the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. This will be further clarified at that time. As we get closer, we're going to understand better. So please do read your Bible. Take the time to study it and to savor the word of God. The book describes then a conflict in heaven in the meantime, where the great dragon is cast out and his angels with him. This is a fight with Archangel Michael. The great dragon is our accuser. There's also at the same time a conflict on earth that has Israel fighting for its survival, and those who belong to Christ will be rescued and set apart to a different part of the Middle East, which it's called the actual wilderness. Right now we can see that how that is possible, as they're today being surrounded by the different countries like Syria and Lebanon, Iraq, Iran, and there's going to be many more that are going to go against the Father's apple of the eye. It takes the time. Revelation takes the time to talk to us about two beasts of the global system, and that's described in Revelation 13. These are the two people who are running the global government. And the global government, how it comes about is they are going to set up, and we don't know who they are, but there's something behind in the background that's going to set up the world in 10 different areas. And 10 quote-unquote kings or governors or whatever you want to call them are going to be set up so that they rule a specific area of the planet. And those 10, at that time, this Antichrist is going to start rising, and he is like the 11th horn. What happens is that three of them basically don't like him and side with him, and he does something to eliminate them, and then he stays on in that government with the seven remaining. They call them horns or crowns. The Antichrist is the beast rising from the sea, and then it says it has seven heads and 10 horns or crowns, and I mean, it looks unimaginable. Daniel describes it too with great detail. John describes them too, but when you read this book, what you're going to notice is if you read Daniel too, is Daniel is looking forward in time, And even though the way they position themselves, one is looking ahead and the other one is looking from the future, which is John, because John sees even the millennial kingdom. So he is seeing from the other end. Some of the things that Daniel described are not in the book of Revelation. Some of the things that the book of Revelation has are not in Daniel. We have to understand that the Father has mysteries and not everything is going to be disclosed. Some of it is already disclosed within the Bible. And those who dedicate themselves to studying the book, they teach you so much that you'll be able to understand this even better. Okay? So I encourage you to do Bible studies and do all this learning because it's going to increase your faith in your life. I'm going to continue on with Antichrist. Each head of the beast, because it has four faces, has a blasphemous name. We have no clue what that could be, but it cannot be very nice. He is described as Daniel 7 states. He receives power from the dragon, and the dragon, we understand it to be Satan. He's going to be mortally wounded. His deadly wound is going to be healed, and the world will marvel and follow, I'm going to say, worship him because he's going to, quote, unquote, resuscitate. Just as Christ. Remember, the Antichrist is just everything that Christ is, he's going to do too, without the power, of course, of the Son of God. The beast wars against the saints of God. So this is when Israel is really going to see who he really is. Those who are saved during the tribulation. So it's going to be fighting what they call the saints and with the actual Jew nation. The second beast, it's kind of like a religious leader. And it comes out of the earth, whereas the beast, the first beast, comes out of the sea. The second beast has two horns and speaks like the dragon. Again, we have a blasphemous person. He has the authority of the first beast, so they're equal in rank, and causes all to worship the first beast. He will perform great signs. He will even make fire come down from heaven, as some of the prophets in the Old Testament did, and deceives those who live on earth. Granted to give the breath to the image of the beast, that it should speak, and to kill those who don't worship the image of the beast. So it is believed that this image will be placed in the Jewish temple, in the Holy of Holies, therefore desecrating the temple, which when Christ comes, there's going to be a total cleanup of it. This second beast is also going to cause all of the people of the earth that are remaining to receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead. Without it, no one is going to be able to buy or sell. Those who don't are going to suffer by hunger. It's going to be basic way down subsistence, the likes of which we haven't seen since the world is the world. Next, we see John describing the 144,000 appearing with Christ on Mount Zion. That means that these 144,000 were probably martyred also and maybe also part of those saints that were the call of the saints that are in heaven asking till when. I am going to stop right here because then we're going to be entering into the meat of what is going to be happening with Israel at that at this time. Carlos, do you think that there might be any questions at this time?
I have two people on the line right now. They might find out. Praise the Lord. You have a question for the reports. Hello?
Yes?
Do you have a question for Sister Orts?
Okay.
Hello.
Oh, baby.
Hello. You have a question for Sister Ortiz? Okay, so we'll go to the next caller.
Okay.
Hello, this
is
Pastor Raymond. Do
you have
a
question
for Sister
Ortiz?
Sister Ortiz? Hello, this is Pastor Raymond. Do you have a question, please? Hello?
Well, we're
Sister Ortiz, I have a question. They're not responding. But I have a question, Sister Ortiz. And you can share as the Spirit leads you. I noticed that you spoke on the tribulation, and it's a devastation that's going to occur present. But why should I now and not wait to the tribulation when I'm going to be beheaded?
Why should you wait to convert, you mean, to accept Jesus?
Why should I be converted now and be taken up in the rapture and for the tribulation time?
Okay. A lot of people think that, I have family, I have my children, my grandchildren. I want to have time to save them. There's many reasons why people think that they can postpone it to once the tribulation starts. In the wisdom of the Spirit, I would say the longer you wait, the harder it is going to be for you. You are going to be under the veil of God is going to give everybody what they have wanted all this time. And it's going to be harder to accept Christ once all these things are going on because your heart is going to get cold. And another thing that's going to happen is, and I'm sorry to tell these people, your first choice always must be God. The Father has the priority over everything. You are giving your family the first place. That's not their place. Their place comes after the Father. And when you go into this period of blindness, it's going to cover everybody, and we can start seeing it. People don't see what we see. It's going to be harder. Plus, you are going to be under the pressure of putting on that mark constantly. And it is such a bad time that even your children are going to be turning you in for being a believer of Christ. So watch out who you put forth your faith in when it belongs to the Father. Because if you don't, then, I mean, those who now love you and that you love, they're going to be turning on you. They're going to be turning you in into this power because they are going to want the reward that this global government is going to give them, that this deceiver is going to give them. They're going to be promised a lot of things if they turn us in. I don't want to wait. Does that help?
Yes, praise God. I have another one. We know the interaction between Nicodemus and Jesus, and I want him to be born again. Now, teacher and a leader of Jewish time, you know, in speaking with Jewish people, they believe that when a young man goes to his bar mitzvah again, when a young man born again, when a young man gets married, he's born again. When a young man joins the priesthood, he's when a young man becomes the leader of a school, he's born again. So why you think that Nicodemus did not understand what Jesus was saying, he must be born again?
They misunderstood Christ. When you are born again, you are born of the Spirit. That your activities have absolutely nothing to do with your being born again. It is granted to us. When that Spirit comes down into your life, that's when you start changing. Entering into the service of something is just something that we give ourselves and to take away credit from the Father. In my opinion, I'm not saying I'm correct, but in my opinion, we take away from the Father every time we do that. The becoming something more, like belonging to the priesthood or whatever, does not make you more. That wasn't Christ's message. His message is about seeking the kingdom of God first. Unless you do that, unless you come in as a babe, unless you come in giving everything to the Father, you're not going to be transformed. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Yes, you're not dependent on other things. You have to do it God's way. I have my last question, and that is, we know that Paul spoke to Timothy, and he said in the falling away. Why is it such important for us, like Bible says in Hebrews, not to forsake the assembly of ourselves, to be part of a body of Christ?
We have to, we all have different gifts. And when we are part of this group of assembly, we become more wholesome. I have the benefit of drawing from others. For example, I cannot evangelize. So if I'm with a group of people in the church or that gathering that we call that assembled together, there is someone there who can actually evangelize. I can learn from that person. There are people within our group. There are people who have an amazing power of prayer. People that we know, they flood us with their prayers, and we feel that power. So I am taking advantage of those things which I'm incapable or don't have at this time or have not developed. So as a group, I am a full individual until he comes and gives me all that I lack.
Praise God. I have another caller. Let me just see if they have a question for you.
Okay.
Good evening. This is Pastor Carlos Ramos. You have a question for Sister Ortiz? Hello? Hi. The Lord will give you strength. Do you have a question for Sister Ortiz? I'm not getting no responses, Ortiz.
I think it's a little bit of hard getting in the system. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be back on next Thursday for part two?
Yes, and that I will close on part two. I think I'm leaving the best part, which is the hardest part, which is actually the cup. And this is when the Father is going to be dealing with our spirit or the spirit of those lawless ones. He's going to be dealing with the Jewish change and of their hearts. And they'll be turning to God due to the things that are coming up together with the war of Armageddon with Antichrist. So I think that it's wise to leave it for the next time. I enjoyed my time here. I appreciate your giving me the chance to speak on this subject.
Praise God, praise God. And we believe that your word has gone out as the Spirit gave you. They didn't want to talk online, but they received your word, and we just asking God, the Father, that seed was planted, and it was sown apart. So we just asking for him to give the increase. So we're going to leave it there right there. Sister Ortiz will be back next Thursday for part two of the tribulation here on Block Talk Radio. Thank you very much, everyone who's on the line. God bless you, Sister Ortiz. Bye-bye.
Thank you to your audience, too. Bye-bye.